All right. Thank you. Thank you so much today for your worship of the Lord and your singing and just the spirit that you're bringing today to worship. I'm so thankful to be here with you today and to be able to share from the scriptures. Today we focus on another aspect of Jesus Christ's presence with us. If you're a note taker today, I'm going to give 3 points. So just keep your ears open for those 3 points. The first one is this. Jesus' presence brings joy. When we're gathered in this place and Jesus himself is here with us, he brings joy into this place. That our experience with Jesus is an experience of joy. Now, first, I want to say this. When I say this, that Jesus is here with us, he is here through his spirit with us. He is here through his spirit in our midst. He is here, and through his spirit, he's speaking to our hearts. He's opening our minds to understand, our eyes to see, our spiritual eyes to see all that he's doing around us, opening our spiritual ears to hear him speak to us. Now, I have to tell you this, that his spirit is here with us in this place today, and I can say that Jesus Christ is here through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Folks, that's a mystery. That's one of those mysteries that we really can't fully explain. We just have to be able to believe it. It's still a truth, even if it's a mystery that we can't fully explain. Christ's spirit makes his presence real to us. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, puts God's word on our hearts and writes them in our minds. That is how we encounter the Lord Jesus in this place. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is here doing the same thing in us that he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 10. When we gain a new understanding as we're in worship. That's the Holy Spirit. That is us encountering Christ through his Holy Spirit. When we gain a new insight into God's Word, it's not because we're so intelligent and brilliant and insightful. No, it's because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, giving us insight and knowledge and understanding of God's Word. Of how God's word applies to our lives. It's because the Holy Spirit of Jesus is here at work in us in this place. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says this about the Holy Spirit at work in the midst of believers. He says this, because our gospel came to you, to those believers in Thessalonica, because our gospel came to you not simply with our own words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. Paul is saying that as we were among you and we spoke and taught and ministered, it was not just our own words, but it was actually the Holy Spirit of God present, working, speaking, convicting. So the scriptures teach us that when we gather, God's Holy Spirit is here with us, and Jesus is here with us. Paul goes on to say, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Paul here mentions how the Holy Spirit is at work as we lived among you. There's something about how the Holy Spirit works when people are gathered together and the Spirit is at work among us. Not just individually, when we're at home or at work or in other places. Not just when we're sitting, studying the scriptures or maybe reading commentaries or maybe we're having a time of personal worship as we listen to worship music and our hearts are being touched and ministered to by the Lord. But when we're gathered together in the midst, among us, the Holy Spirit of God is here. And when the Holy Spirit is here, Christ's very presence is here with us. It was among the believers, that the Holy Spirit was present. And look at what Paul says that the Holy Spirit did. He brought about what? Joy. He brought about joy. And he brought about joy in this case, in this verse in 1 Thessalonians, he brought about joy in the face of suffering. So the Holy Spirit is in the midst of us and makes the presence of Jesus Christ come alive. And the same joy is what we experience when we come together. The same joy that those early Christians in that first church in Thessalonica thousands of years ago, that same spirit that brings about this joy of Christ amongst the believers as they're gathered, that same spirit is here with us and causes us to experience that same joy, causes the presence of Jesus Christ to come alive in us and among us. And that same joy that they experienced is what we experience even today when we gather together. And I'll be honest with you, as I stand here today and I look out across our sanctuary, I wish more people were here. Not because I want a full room or I want to be able to pat myself on the back or it makes me feel good that we've got more people present. As a matter of fact, if it was just us, folks, I'd be okay. I don't need more people in the room for me to be edified by being together with you and knowing that Jesus is here in the room. I guess the reason that I desire more and more of God's people to gather together is that there's something that the Holy Spirit does when His people are gathered together. Not just located in other places, not just located by themselves, not just in isolation. God does work in those places, no doubt about it. But I'm talking about the Lord does something special and powerful when His people come together. We experience Jesus' presence because the Holy Spirit is among us. There might be somebody, I'm just going to speak a word here. There might be somebody today that you need to encourage, maybe even go beyond encouraging. You might need to challenge them a little bit and say, listen, brother, listen, sister. There's something that God wants to do in your life, and I'm encouraging, inviting you. Join me next Sunday for worship. Let's make it a routine. Let's get back into the habit of worship. In Hebrews, it also says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. There's something about God that He desires for His people to be together, to dwell together, so that His Spirit can move and speak among His people and within His people. There will always be sickness. There will always be a reason that we can say we don't need to be together. But today I'm challenging our church. And if you're listening on Facebook, I want to challenge you. It may be that the Lord will call you and lead you to no longer attend on Facebook, but to actually gather together bodily with His people so that the Holy Spirit can enable us to experience the very presence of Jesus together. As we are gathered, Jesus' presence brings joy. I want to ask you, do you believe that you will experience the presence of Jesus Christ when you gather here for worship each Sunday? I hope so, because in His presence is abundant joy. Look at this verse. From Psalm 16 and verse 11. Jeff, pull that up on the screen there. You have it? There we go. Look at what this says. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence, O Lord, is fullness of joy. Jeff, you can go back to the title screen now. The second point is this. The joy that Christ brings when we are gathered in this place, The joy that Christ brings, that we encounter and experience, is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. It's more than just being happy at what's happening. It's more than just checking off the box that you have attended church today. Joy is more than just having a good time. The joy I'm talking about is the experience of Jesus, both your own personal experience and the experience we have together here when we're gathered for worship. That brings fullness of joy, a deep sense of meaning. Fullness of joy, a deep sense of meaning that Jesus brings to our heart and to our mind. The fullness of joy is what happens when we experience Jesus here in worship. Our hearts and minds are filled with joy when Christ's Spirit goes to work in our midst. These are some of the ways that Christ brings us abundant joy in the midst of worship. As we're singing songs of praise, the Spirit of Christ is bringing us an abundance of joy. As we're turning our hearts to God, our Heavenly Father, in prayer, the Holy Spirit is causing us to experience a fullness of joy. As we're paying attention to the Scriptures, which is God's Word, we can experience Christ's presence and the fullness of joy. And I want to just share some things here that we encounter from God's Word that allows us to experience the fullness of Christ's joy. And we've already sung about it today and talked about it, and that is that we experience the forgiveness of our sins. That brings to us a fullness of joy, that there's not a thing that we can do that will grieve the Holy Spirit so much that if we are not ready and willing to come to Him in repentance and confession, that God will not quickly and fully cleanse us of our sin. We know the pain and the suffering and the disappointment that can come about when we know that we have just failed the Lord. And in a way, we failed ourselves, we failed others, and it's not our best selves. We know what that looks like. And to know that we can come into this place and hear and be reminded that forgiveness is ours when we come before the Lord with an open and transparent heart, with confession and repentance. The Bible says that God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? That's a part of that fullness of joy that we are reminded of as we gather together in this place. Sometimes we can come to believe that we're not worth forgiving. There's not that we've gone too far. We've done too much. We've erred for the last time. And there's just nothing that can remedy that. But I'm telling you, throughout the Scriptures, God reminds us of His abundant and amazing grace. The Lord says that His compassion lasts forever, that His anger is but for a moment, but His compassion lasts a lifetime, that He takes our sins and casts them as far as the east is from the west. Now, you measure that distance. You measure that distance. You can't get to that point. He takes our sin and He removes it from us as far as the east is from the west. In that knowledge is abundant joy. When we come together and we experience joy in meeting the person of Christ, when the Lord begins to meet our needs, when our needs are met, sometimes those are our spiritual needs, just to be encouraged or edified. Sometimes we need to be convicted. You know, the Holy Spirit needs to come into us and show us and guide us and convict us so He can lead us in the right way. Our needs are met, though, also when we have need of friendship amongst the believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, a Christian friendship. Sometimes Christian friendship can kind of sting. It can be hurtful at times. But when the Lord is in the midst of a friendship and the friendship that we share together, there is nothing like it. Just the depth at which it touches us and blesses us. And we find that fullness of joy when our needs are met. Sometimes it's a financial need, and you're able to share a need that you have, and lo and behold, the Lord meets that need out of nowhere. You have no idea where that financial need, where those finances came from, and the Lord meets a financial need. Or maybe another kind of material need. We've had people that have shown up at church on Sundays, and they needed a jacket or a coat. They were able to go down to the clothes closet and have a need met right then and right there. We encounter the fullness of joy in the person of Jesus and his presence here when we discover how our needs are met. Sometimes it's a need for healing, and we hear testimony after testimony of God's healing, of our physical needs and our emotional needs, of God's goodness, his timing that is perfect, and how it is that he meets our needs through a personal encounter with the presence of Jesus. There are other ways. As we come together and we gather and the Lord is working, his presence is here, we discover what his will is for our lives. We might have questions about this, that, or the other. And in the midst of worship, as we seek the Lord reveals to us what his will is. The decision that we need to make, that we've been wondering about and asking the Lord about. And he gives us clarity and he gives us insight, and we know what decision that we should make, having been gathered together and encountering the Lord in this place. When we have a sense of where the Lord wants us to go, when he's given us his direction, there's fullness of joy. It really brings about joy in our hearts, doesn't it? Well, there are other ways that we encounter the Lord Jesus. We find fullness of joy. We can please him. The Lord encourages us that we can please him through our thoughts and through our actions and through the desires of our hearts. The Lord can show us areas where we've gone astray or we're not where God wants us to be. Our actions are out of step with the Lord, or our thoughts. We just allowed our thoughts to go down, get into the gutter. You know, whether it's lustful thoughts or whether it's thoughts of anger or holding a grudge or even thoughts where we have really some esteem issues. We look at ourselves and say, man, I'm not worth a thing. You know, those are not pleasing. God doesn't want that for our thinking. And so when we come together and God corrects us and shows us and gives us insight that influences and impacts our thinking and our actions. Sometimes, folks, we just get bent all out of shape and we start acting. Our actions do not reflect the presence and the peace and the joy of the Lord in our lives. And so being together and encountering Jesus, he corrects our actions. And we begin to discover that, yes, our thoughts can please the Lord. Our actions can please the Lord. The desires of our hearts can please the Lord. And when we discover that, it begins to pour the joy of the Lord into our lives. And there's fullness of joy. One more way that we encounter the joy of the Lord as we're gathered and his presence brings us joy is that we discover that we can serve him even if it results in suffering. Let's turn to 1 John 1, chapter 1. Take your Bibles and turn there. 1 John chapter 1. And let's see how Jesus' presence made all the difference to this congregation, this early group, these very first Christians. 1 John 1, beginning verse 1. That which was from the beginning, and now John has a way of talking about Jesus this way. In the Gospel of John, he talks about Jesus from the very beginning. Jesus existed. So what we have to understand is that as John describes Jesus this way, the Gospels teach us that Jesus existed even before creation. Even before the Lord created the earth, Jesus existed. And so in the halls of heaven for all eternity, God has existed as Father, Son, and Spirit, the three in one, the Trinity, as we call it. And here in 1 John, John says this, that which was from the beginning, and he's talking about Jesus, who has existed even before creation. This one, he goes on, which we have heard. Now listen to how John describes this personal experience with Jesus, who we have heard, that we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked upon, that our hands have handled. This is John's way of describing how the disciples fully experienced the person of Jesus. Now, we don't experience the person of Jesus that way. He doesn't just walk in the room and then we all gather around him and watch him and listen to him and reach our hands out and touch him. No, the person, the physical body, a person of Jesus does not walk into the room. But we do experience the presence of Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in the same way that John describes how Jesus came alive to those early disciples, in that same way, the Holy Spirit causes Jesus to come alive in our presence. So John describes this personal experience of the disciples with the person of Jesus. He goes on, concerning the word of life. Now, this also is a way that John talks about Jesus. Jesus is the word of life. The word, capital W-O-R-D. John uses that particularly to describe who Jesus is. Jesus is the word, capital W, of God. And that can take you a million miles in terms of meaning. Jesus causes God's word to become alive. He animates God's word. In him is the very word of God alive and active in us. This word of life. Verse 2, the life that was manifested. In other words, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen and bear witness, John continues, and we declare to you that eternal life, and that is God's gift to all who believe, to all who believe in Jesus and receive his love and forgiveness, accept him into their lives as their leader and their forgiver, their Lord and Savior, this gift of eternal life. God's gift to all who believe, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. That is, Jesus brought eternal life to earth through his resurrection. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declared to you, that's the evangelism of the early church, that you also may have fellowship with us. John is describing this fellowship of new believers or disciples that were being made throughout that region. And truly our fellowship, he continues, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This full joy is the result of fellowship with the Father and the Son. The joy we can experience every time we gather is a part of the Christian community and has been from its very beginning. In the early church, they faced different degrees of suffering for following Jesus. In our community here, we don't know the experience of suffering that the early church knew. And many Christians today still suffer around the world. The third point is this. Even in the face of suffering, there is joy in the presence of Jesus. Listen to how that old disciple, Simon Peter, wrote about Jesus. Joy and suffering. Dear friends, he writes, do not be surprised, and listen to how he describes this kind of suffering that was headed toward the early church. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Now, how would you like to gather on Sundays and be reminded that, hey, folks, just be ready. We've got a fiery ordeal coming our way. But he writes that to this early group of believers. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Verse 13, he says this, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be glad with exceeding joy when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be because you're a murderer or a thief or a criminal or even a meddler. No, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name of Jesus. As the Lord replants Robertsville, he has blessed us in many ways. And in so many ways that sometimes it's hard to think that there are ways that we might would suffer. But I want us to always be ready, church, to not let anything steal away the joy that Jesus' presence brings to us. There may be tough days ahead, times when it's more lean than others, but things will never bring us joy, only Jesus. It will always be the person and presence of Jesus Christ among us and within us through His Holy Spirit that will bring us fullness of joy. We've been going through this study of Flickering Lamps, written by Henry Blackaby, that chronicles his experience of moving his family back in the early 70s from Southern California all the way up to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada, from a successful pastorate in Southern California to a church that had a for sale sign and about five members left in Canada. And this book chronicles and gives biblical, spiritual principles to encourage churches that God has a new day in mind for them as He replants and revives His church. But I want you to hear about the kind of suffering that was his experience there and what it was, the perspective that they had on that. He writes this, "As I have said, our church in Saskatoon had little to offer the community in terms of physical comforts or even musical extravaganzas. The hard wooden chairs could become painful when the services ran long. The steady stream of amateurs leading worship sometimes produced unpleasant musical results. We did not have adequate parking, and when winter temperatures plummeted to 40 degrees below zero, walking three blocks from the nearest parking spot to the church building was not a joyful experience. But we had joy. Why? Because our people knew that they would experience Christ at our church. And in His presence is abundant joy." Church, there may come tough times, there may come lean times, but it will always be true that when we gather in this place, we know that we are going to experience the risen Christ. And in His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. That's what I'm asking the Lord for more of, more joy in His presence as we gather here each week, more displays of His power and His might, more of His grace and provision, more of His direction and conviction, more of His peace and the promise of a new start each day, more of experiencing His presence in worship and being filled each week with the fullness of joy that only comes from the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your word that comes alive in us because of Jesus Christ. We thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit that enables us and allows us to be able to experience the person of Christ in a real way, in an encounter that changes us, that saves us, that forgives us of our sins. I want to tell you today that if the Lord's moving in your heart, it's not because of a great preacher standing up here preaching. It's because the Holy Spirit is here moving on you and wanting to speak to you and work in your life. He may be convicting you of a sin in your life that you need to confess before the Lord. Don't walk out the door of this sanctuary until you get it right with God. Don't sweep it under the carpet anymore. He may be wanting to direct you and give you an answer to that question that you've been searching for. And today you have a sense that He's begun to answer that question. Don't ignore it, but pay attention to what He's saying to you. It may not be what you thought. He may be calling on you to make a sacrifice that you weren't thinking you'd have to make, but don't resist the Lord. Say yes to Him and obey Him, because obedience is always better than sacrifice. Lord Jesus, today we want to respond to You. We want to be people that as we gather each week, regardless of what's going on, regardless of who shows up, Lord, that if we're here and You're here, we're going to have a joyful encounter with You. Lord, that's what we look forward to each week. And today, we thank You that in this place, we have encountered You. And I want to tell You, Lord, that our joy is full because of You. Thank You, Lord. We love You. We worship You. We respond to You now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's sing our last song, our last